blessings you continue to pour into our life. And we pray that you will let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today I want to talk about praying for guidance from God. Praying for guidance from God. Have you ever had a time in your life where when you just wanted God to give you some direction, some guidance, some sign, some evidence that God is really out there? Maybe it was, who should you marry? I guess Christy and Sean got the sign. Maybe it was, which house should you buy? Where should you move? And in this volatile election time, who should you vote for? Some indication of what it is you are supposed to do next. I've had those times in my life. And when the world seemed like it really couldn't get any bleaker, and I couldn't figure out which way to go, and I was even having doubts about my relationship with God. I've had those times in my life. There have been times, both great and small, when I just wanted a sign from God. A few years ago, PBS aired a series with several well-known scholars, biblical scholars, theologians, and even a few rabbis. And they discussed this Genesis passage that was just read for us, including a scripture lesson in our story. And they talked about Jacob and Jacob's angelic vision from God. And several participants shared about how they had, in their life experiences, received signs from God, including a Jewish rabbi. And he said, I've had these kinds of experiences, and inevitably, he said, they're stunningly mundane, and yet at the same time, very profound. He told the story of he and the friend driving down the Jersey Turnpike, and his friend was just smoking up a storm in the car and dropping ashes in the car. And then the friend turned to the rabbi and said, I feel like that biblical character Job, and I'm covered with ashes, and I just want a sign from God. I'm depressed. I'm filled with anxiety. I'm filled with doubts. I'm filled with questions, and I just want a sign from God. And just as the words came out of his mouth, a black Cadillac passed by them, and the license plate said, God, G-O-D. And the rabbi looked at him and said, did you see that? Was that a sign from God? If only we could get those signs. Did you see that license plate? The rabbi said, yes, I saw it. The license plate said, G-O-D. Just as the words were coming out of his mouth, and he said, I just want a sign from God. How do you interpret that? I'm inclined to say, okay, it's bordering on the absurd. The message is there, though. You ask for a sign from God. Have you ever seen that sign on the side of the road when you're driving in the highway? If you're looking for a sign from God, here it is. The message is there. And that's really the gist of my message for today about praying for God's guidance. Maybe the message is already there. And God wants to give us that message, but it's already there. I know this really sounds absurd, and it sounds simple and stunningly mundane, as the rabbi said it. But could there be some truth to that simple statement that the message is already there? And could that one statement be a key to really finding the sign and seeing the message we all at some point in our life want to see? The story of Jacob and Nathaniel are really examples for me of God telling us that the message is there. that God is there just wanting to give us this message, wanting to give us this sign, this guidance that we're asking for, this guidance that we need. God was there for Jacob in all of Jacob's self-centered scheming ways. Remember, Jacob had tricked his father and tricked his brother out of a birthright. And God was there. God was there for Jacob, and God was there for the skeptical Nathaniel in the second reading, in all of Nathaniel's doubts, in all of Nathaniel's arrogance. Remember, because Jesus was a Galilean, and Jesus was born and raised in the marginalized community of Jesus's day. Jesus was actually raised in the hood of Jesus's day. We would compare where Jesus was raised to Watts or Compton today. Jesus was raised in the hood. And Nathaniel knew that Jesus was raised in the hood. And so he asked the question, can anything good come out of the hood? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And maybe the stories of the undeserving Jacob and this story of the skeptical Nathaniel are really records of, in scripture, in part, to tell us that we were not simply created and then abandoned by the Creator. We weren't created and just abandoned by the Creator. And maybe these stories are there to tell us that there is no real discernible gap between us and the divine, except for possibly the division that we create in ourselves. Jacob and Nathaniel reminds us that the divine is here. The Creator is here from womb to tomb, not only to guide those who are deserving or those who have whatever you may call a perfect faith, if there is such a person, but Jacob and Nathaniel remind us that God's very self has bridged the gap between human and God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what scripture tells us. For Jacob, that gap was bridged when he saw the heavens open up in that vision that was just read for us. And it was revealed a ladder going up from heaven all the way, going up to heaven, back down to earth. And there were angels walking up and down that ladder. And that's really an ancient symbol of uninterrupted connection, uninterrupted fellowship between God and humankind. This ladder going from heaven to earth, and the angels ascending and descending, standing by Jacob's side. This was the vision that Jacob had. And for Nathanael, the gap was bridged when he came face to face with Jesus Christ, the man from Nazareth, Jesus, who according to scripture came to really bridge that gap between God and humankind. And so I've painted this picture for you on several occasions, and I said there was this gap between God and humanity caused by sin. So here is sin right here. And here is God, and here is humankind. And so that gap was filled by Jesus on the cross. So Jesus comes and stretches this way and fills the gap between God and humankind. The message in these biblical examples is that that gap between heaven and earth has been bridged. Maybe God wants to guide us. God is waiting to guide us, guide you and me. Or you might say, yeah, that's nice. Maybe we can accept that God wants to give us a message. You might also say, how then do we know the message? How do you know the message when it comes? How do you know that this is really a message from God? Sure, if we experience what Jacob experienced and we saw a ladder coming down from heaven and God standing in front of us, we'd say, yes, I believe. If we experienced Nathanael with Jesus walking right beside him, all of us in here would believe. We're standing face to face with Jesus, we could believe then. But how can I distinguish between wishful thinking or desire and God's message? The first thing I would say is that I believe we sense God's guidance through prayer. We sense God's guidance through prayer. Prayer, for me, is about relationship. It's about a relationship with God. And just like with any relationship, the relationship grows and matures as we spend more time with the person, as we spend more time in communication with the person. We become more familiar with them. We're able to make sense of conversations that arise in a relationship because we spend more time with them. There are times when my children were growing up, not that much now that they're adults, that I wouldn't even have to say a word to them. I just have to give them the look. And once I gave them the look, they knew what I, there was this one look on my face that my children absolutely despised. And I knew when to give it to him. I would just go like this. And when I gave them the look, I didn't have to say any words because we were in relationship and they knew from the body language, they knew from the facial expression what I was saying. Now, we obviously do not have visual image of God, but in our prayer time, when we sense God's presence in our spirit, that's when that connection, that when that communication happens for us. And as we spend time in our prayer with God, we are more able really to understand the conversations and the messages. And the messages that God sometimes wants to communicate to us doesn't come from a pulpit. It may not even come from reading the Bible. It might come from someone sitting right next to you. It might come from someone walking past you. I think I shared the story of a very low period in my life where I was ready to leave ministry and leave everything. And I was on a plane heading to Louisiana to speak at an event about hope right after Katrina. And nobody on that plane knew where my mind was. No one on that plane knew the depth of depression that I was experiencing. And the flight attendant that I've never seen before and have never seen since came up to me and said, "I don't know why I feel I need to tell you this, but God's not through with you yet." Spending time with God, we understand the conversations that come, and sometimes the message to us from God didn't come from a pulpit, doesn't come from a preacher, come from a stranger, someone you've never seen before and probably will never see again. Secondly, I believe prayer is like using a map. It's a guide. It's a general guide to appreciate the power and the mystery and the beauty of prayer. We must visit and revisit and revisit prayer. Praying for the trivial as well as the serious things. Praying for the joyful times and the sad times, the doubts and the thanksgiving. We've got to pray with our lips and then pray with our actions. As one person said to me recently, we need to keep praying even in those times when all we can do is just shake our head and ask God to read our hearts and to read our lips. Have you ever been at a place like that? You just shake your head because you can't find the real words to pray. Romans 8:26 says that the groanings of our heart. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you couldn't even find the words to say and you just, the groanings of our heart, the scripture says. We need to visit and revisit the land of prayer. The more we develop our relationship with God through prayer, the more we're able to recognize the message is there. And so I want to suggest very, very briefly three things that I have used to help me discern direction or the message from God. And they may apply to you, and if they do, take them and run with them. If they don't, seek some other way that you hear from God. I suggest briefly, the first thing is that is prayer, which I just talked about. We can listen to the inner voice of God. Now, scripture says that we were created in God's image. You and I, believe it or not, no matter how you see yourself when you look in the mirror, you and I were created in God's image. So we have this inner voice of God, this inner voice. The voice is there, but we seldom take time to acknowledge it. We seldom take time to nurture or honor it. It's there. Now, it's essential to distinguish between our thoughts and our emotions from this inner voice of God. So we need to test the voice. We need to test the voice. So if the inner voice of God seems to be directing us to do something, we've got to test the voice. And so how do you test the voice? I say we test the voice by scripture. So test number one. We test the voice by scripture. We go to the Bible and say, the inner voice is saying to do this. Is that the same as scripture would suggest I say or do? And so the inner voice is saying to go in that direction. Is that something scripture would encourage me to do? And so we test the voice with scriptures like Micah 6 and 8. God has told us what to do, O mortal. What is good? And what does the Lord require? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God. So if the inner voice is saying to do injustice, if the inner voice is saying to be evil, if the inner voice is saying to be arrogant, then you test it against the scripture. And they just don't match up. That's test number one. Scripture can be a source of guidance, but I say that with caution because scripture must be read prayerfully in order to be a source of guidance. Scripture must be read with an open heart, not necessarily read to support a particular agenda or a decision that I've already made. And so, because we know from history that scripture has been used to justify a whole lot of stuff, even slavery, scripture was used to justify slavery. So you have the inner voice. Then you have the test of scripture. And then third, I would say we may be able to test the message or the direction that we're getting by examining our motives. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And I've said it before, I really chuckle whenever I see entertainers or public figures or athletes who are at a Thanksgiving dinner serving meals to the unhoused, but then you have CBS, ABC, NBC, all with cameras. What's my motive? Is it self-serving or is it really serving? So you got the inner voice that speaks to me, then you have the test of scripture, and then the test of motives. Why do we feel we are being directed to go one way over another way? Why do we believe this is a message that we are supposed to hear? We must really be willing to be humble and humble ourselves and ask God to search our hearts. Am I doing this for the right reason? Or am I doing it to be self-serving? Finally, I think we have to check out the message we think that might be divine guidance with our faith community. Because scripture says, where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. So as I said earlier, that God sometimes speaks to us, not necessarily or only through a pulpit or a pastor or a preacher. God doesn't only speak to us through the scripture, but God speaks to us through each other. Like that flight attendant on the airplane. Have you ever had an experience like you look at someone and say, why did you say that? What prompted you to say that to me? And it's not in a negative. It's like, that's exactly the answer to the question that I've been asking. Why did you say that? You might have experienced it in a worship service. You might have experienced it listening to a talk radio. You might have experienced it in a casual conversation that you're having with someone. So we have to check the message with the community of faith, because God often speaks to us through those in our faith community. Scripture promises in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. So Christ's presence will be with us here, whether there's a preacher or not, guiding us. And we could take over that guidance. Through a growing relationship with God in prayer, we begin more and more to hear God's voice and God's spirit. Relying on Scripture, we check it out with Scripture, but then we have to check out our motives, and then we have to share with our community. Maybe we can begin to know that through that process, is this a process that I use? And through that process, maybe we can begin to know that the message is there. As it were, for the two friends driving in that car on the Jersey Turnpike, the message is there. Maybe it comes in a license plate that says, God. Maybe it comes in a flight attendant that says, I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe it comes in a coworker or a spouse or a partner who says something to us that affirms what we feel we're being called to do. There may never be angels ascending or descending from heaven for you or for me. Well, there's never been for me. Maybe it has been for you. I've never walked and felt like Jesus was right there next to me. I admit I've never experienced that. Yet without angels, I think we need to know that God wants to guide us. Open our eyes to see God by us is my prayer. Open our ears to hear what God is saying to us. And open our hearts to follow the way that God has prepared for us. Because the message is there. Let's pray. God, we thank you that there are so many different ways in which you speak to us. And sometimes we have kind of locked into one particular way. If I don't hear it or experience it this way, then I don't think that God is speaking. And for many Christians, if it's not in the Bible or if it's not said from a pulpit, then it's not coming from God. And we know that there are so many other ways that you use other people in our life to speak to us and to direct us and to affirm the direction that we're going in or challenge us to go in another direction. So thank you that you can touch our hearts and touch our ears and touch our minds and our eyes to see that message that is before us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.